The date was November 18th, 1983. And the place was theaters across North America. Sounds a little bit loud there. There we go. A movie called The Christmas Story. Anybody ever seen it? It opened. It's a Christmas time, or it's Christmas time, and there's only one thing that Ralphie Parker's Christmas, or on Ralphie Parker's Christmas list this year. And it is a Red Ryder carbon action 200 shot range model air rifle. But there are so many obstacles that stand in his way of his dream, because every adult that he confronts keeps telling him one thing. You want one of those? You'll shoot your eye out. Meanwhile, his mom is making sure that the old man doesn't come near the turkey. Ralphie's friends get his tongue stuck to a pole in the flagpole in the schoolyard. Christmas is drawing nearer and nearer, and Ralphie's last and only hope is to go see Santa Claus at the mall after the Christmas parade, so that he could possibly convince Santa for his dream gift. But guess what? Even Santa looks at him and says, "You'll shoot your eye out." It seems like each and every person in the movie is anticipating something for Christmas. He's anticipating that wonderful gift. His mother is anticipating making this beautiful meal. The old man, well, he's just anticipating one thing, and that's the turkey. But are you looking for anything this Christmas? Is there something that you're anticipating? What are you waiting for? What are you expecting to receive? Are you looking forward to anything special this Christmas? Well, this morning, the kids did a great job sharing the Christmas story with us. But in the Gospel of Luke, we come across two characters that make their appearance in the final acts of the Christmas drama. A part that we almost never see up on the stage with the Christmas drama. These two characters, one is a man named Simeon, and the other is a woman named Anna. And they just don't appear in any nativity scenes, their Christmas cards. They're significant players in the first Christmas pageant, but these individuals are waiting for something. Actually, they were waiting for someone. And Luke uses this a Greek word for anticipation that identifies them as waiting with expectation for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of the Savior. And it literally means that they were alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. And we see this word in Luke 2:25 and in reference to Simeon, where we read about him that he was waiting. And then in verse 38, it describes a woman named Anna who was looking forward to. Now I want to read Luke 2:25 to you this morning. And it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now Simeon was a righteous man before the people. He was devout in his relationship with God. But things actually weren't going real well for the nation of Israel. They hadn't heard from God in many years. They were under the rule of the Romans, the tyrants that they were. They had lost their political independence, and they were living in fear of the capable, crafty, and cruel King Herod. And many were wondering if the Messiah would ever come. And Simeon had good reason for his hope and anticipation, because verse 26 tells us that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Man, I wish I had something like that. Wouldn't it be awesome to have the Holy Spirit tell you that you're not going to die until Jesus returns? You're not. Wouldn't that be awesome? His expectation focused on the comfort that the Christ would bring. And among Jews of Simeon's day, one of the popular titles of Messiah was Comforter. And like some of the Christmas songs that we sing, they're longing for the Messiah to come to bring comfort to them. And the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple courts at just the right time, on just the right day, and he saw Mary and Joseph bringing their infant to the temple. And when Simeon looked at the baby Jesus, now about 6 weeks old, he knew that God's promise had been kept. Here was Emmanuel, God with us. To make everything right, to provide significance by his presence and eliminate rejection, fear, and loneliness. And verse 28 of Luke chapter 2 says that Simeon reached down and he took the baby. He took the baby from Mary and Joseph. And he began to praise God and he said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." Now, parents, I got a question for you. You show up at church with your newborn babe, 6 weeks old, and you're there and you're happy and you're proud and you're going, and suddenly a strange man walks up to you and reaches and takes your child from you and begins to do this, "Sovereign Lord." I'm not sure if this was a bit unsettling for Mary and Joseph, but it would have been for me. But Simeon didn't look all that dangerous. And as he broke into praise, he acknowledged that God had not only fulfilled the individual promise to him, but also the promises of the prophets to send the Anointed One, the comfort to both Jew and Gentile. And we know that Mary knew who Jesus was, that Joseph knew that this was a very special child. It was God's son. And so it may have been a little scary to begin with, but as he spoke, we know that their hearts were filled with joy. Now, the other Christmas character waiting to see, or waiting with anticipation, was Anna. And after her husband had died, she dedicated her life to fasting and praying in the temple. In fact, the Bible says that she never left the temple, but worshipped day and night. She was looking forward to the same person as Simeon was, but with a different reason. Instead of looking for comfort, Anna was looking for forgiveness. In verse 38, it says, "Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to whom all were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem." And the word redemption is related to the idea of captivity. You see, the Old Testament Passover and the release of Israel from the Egyptian slavery stood in Anna's day as the ultimate redemption and the symbol of God's power to release captives. Ultimately, Passover pointed ahead to the day when God would provide deliverance from the slavery of sin. And when Anna, when she saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were waiting for redemption. Here at last was the one who would save his people from their sins, Jesus. And when Jesus came, he provided the very thing that Simeon and Anna were waiting for, God's comfort and forgiveness. So let me ask you a question. What are you waiting for this Christmas? Whatever it is, whatever, Jesus can give it to you. Can any of you identify with Simeon? Some of you are really hurting right now. You can feel, you feel lonely, empty, afraid, maxed out, or completely drained. Do you need some comfort, some consoling? Do you need a fresh sense of God's presence? If so, you can find what you're looking for in Jesus, because he came to console us, to comfort us right where we're at. Or perhaps you identify more with Anna. You plagued with guilt this Christmas because of something you've done or the way you've been living? Do you feel like you're trapped in a pattern of sin that you can't break out of? If you need forgiveness, Jesus can give it to you today, right now. And I can think of no better time than Christmas to do just that. There are three steps from this passage that will help you experience God's comfort and forgiveness this Christmas. One is you can become a marveler. Now, this does not mean that you prefer Marvel Comics to DC Comics. Levi, do you understand this? Thank you. Everybody knows which one's better. Become a marveler. When Joseph and Mary tried to process everything that was happening, verse 33 says that they marveled at what was said about Jesus. Now, according to the dictionary, to marvel or to become a marveler, you're not going to really find that word actually, is to be filled with wonder, astonishment, and surprise. Are you a marveler this Christmas, or are you too caught up by the busyness and the stress of this season? Have you been running around because the holidays are, or are you taking some time to make Christmas a holy day? Has Christmas become too predictable, too familiar? Have you heard the Christmas story so much that it no longer astonishes you? Actually, this can be a dangerous time of year for us because our annual celebrations of Christmas can almost immunize us to its reality. We hear just enough of the story each year to inoculate us against the real thing so that we never really catch real Christmas fever. Well, here's an idea that may help you recapture the marvel of Christmas. Pick one of your Christmas characters, one, and put yourself in their sandals. Imagine what it must have been like to witness the Christmas story firsthand. Go ahead, pick one. Mary, Joseph, one of the shepherds, Simeon, Anna, the wise men, maybe not Herod. but become a marveler and be freshly awed and astonished by the story of the birth of our Savior. The second step is you can become a mover. Take a look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And then when you drop down to verse 38, it says, coming up to them at the very moment she gave thanks to God. See, both Simeon and Anna were movers. And when the Holy Spirit prompted them to move, they didn't sit still. I often wonder what would happen if they had not responded. Actually, every one of the Christmas characters responded to the Spirit's leading, with the exception of Herod. So don't put yourself in his sandals. Mary was ready to move when she said to the angel, "May it be to me as you have said." Joseph, he demonstrated that he was a mover when he woke up from his dream and did what the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary home as his wife. The shepherds were movers when they said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has been that has happened. And the wise men, well, they were movers. When the star moved, they went to go find the king who was born that day. When God prompts you to do something, you need to do it. It might mean salvation for some of you. It might mean full surrender for others. Maybe the Spirit wants you to be more involved in serving. Do you sense Him asking you to do something today? Are you a mover, or are you willing, or are you even willing to move? Don't default to that procrastination. I know that many of us want to do that. We can procrastinate. We'll do it later, some other time. Well, don't procrastinate when God prompts you to do something, because you may miss out on the miracle of Christmas. I'm struck by what Simeon told Mary in verse 34. Because I think it must have taken her breath away when he said, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against." It's not really a joyful Christmas message, is it? You don't find that on too many Christmas cards. "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many." Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Simeon is not saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Rather, he pauses, he clears his throat and tells her that Christmas will never be merry and the New Year will never be happy until people get moving and surrender their lives to Christ. Because Christmas really does split people into two camps. And since Jesus has entered the world, he has divided the human race. Jesus will cause the falling and the rising of many. Because of who Jesus is and what he came to do, he forces people to make a decision about him. And the Bible uses incredibly powerful imagery. Jesus is either a rock that you build your life upon, that is the rising, or he is the rock that you stumble over, and that's the falling. Because on the cusp of the last Christmas of the millennium, Jesus he's calling all of us. Of this very Christmas, he is calling all of us to either rise or to fall. You just can't stay neutral on this one. Because not choosing is actually choosing not to follow. It's based upon your willingness to move and respond. We will either rise or fall. You just can't stay neutral. You got to choose. And interesting, as we work at becoming marvelers, we can't help but become movers. And when we're movers, that leads us to the final step, to be messengers. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Do you have family? Do you have friends who caught up in preparation for Christmas? Maybe their anticipation and longing really represents an inner search for comfort and forgiveness. Those are things that only the Messiah can provide. God wants each one of us to become messengers of the Christmas story. Christmas is a marvelous, moving message. How can we not find what we've been looking for? How can we keep quiet? Once you have the Son, you have everything. I'm going to close this morning with one final story. Many years ago, there was this very wealthy man who shared a passion for collecting art with his son. They had priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh adorning the walls of their family estate. And as winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. But after only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His son had died. His son died saving another soldier. A few months later, on Christmas morning, that soldier that was saved came to visit the father. The soldier mentioned that he was an artist, amateur at that, but an artist. And then he gave the old man a package. And as he pulled off that paper, it revealed a portrait of his son that was done by the soldier. Though the world would never consider that piece of work to be genius, the painting featured the young man's face in quite striking detail. And the father hung the portrait over the fireplace, and it soon became his most favorite, prized possession, eclipsing any interest in the Picassos and the Van Goghs and the Monets and all that stuff. The following spring, the old man died. And the art world waited in anticipation for the upcoming auction because, according to the will of the father, all of the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received his greatest gift. And as the months passed, the anticipation of Christmas Day was incredible amongst art lovers. And they gathered at the estate to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. And the auction began with a painting that was not on anyone's list, not on any museum's list. No one actually wanted it. It was the portrait of the son done by the soldier. And the auctioneer asked for an opening bid. I see you guys get it. They were silent as well. Someone must bid. $100, anyone? $50. Finally, someone said, "Nobody cares about that painting. It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on. Let's get to the good stuff." And the auctioneer responded, "No, we must sell this one first. Now, who will take the son?" Finally, one of the neighbors said, $10. "I'll take it for $10. It's all I have. I knew the boy. It's not bad art. $10. Going once. Going twice. Sold." The gavel fell. The auctioneer looked at the room filled with people and announced, "The auction is now over." Everyone was stunned. And someone said, "There are millions of dollars of art. What's going on?" And the auctioneer replied with this. It's very simple. According to the will of the father, whoever takes the son gets it all. It puts things into perspective for us, doesn't it? The message isn't the same this Christmas. Because of the Father's love, whoever takes the son gets it all. Gets it all. Will you take the son today? Will you share your joy of taking the Son with the world? Will you be a marveler? Will you be a mover? Will you be a messenger? And we've already sung, "Go Tell It from the Mountains." But we're going to sing "Joy to the World" one last time. Just the first verse. So team, let's, I guess, gather over there and we'll sing "Joy to the World."